going to read this story. It's an exciting story from the New Testament. It happens after Jesus has been with his disciples. He died, and then he rose again. And the news of his rising again spread throughout the whole world. And this is part of the story of that good news spreading throughout the world and touching people's lives and changing their lives. It's about a woman named Lydia. From there, we went inland to Philippi, a city of the first district of Macedonia. It is also a Roman colony. We spent several days there, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city to the riverside, where we thought there would be a place where Jews gathered for prayer. We sat down and talked to the women who gathered there. One of those who heard us was Lydia from Thyatira, who was a dealer of purple cloth. She was a woman who worshipped God, and the Lord opened her mind to pay attention to what Paul was saying. After she and the people of her house had been baptized, she invited us, "Come and stay in my house if you have decided that I am a true believer in the Lord." And she persuaded us to go. I wonder if you know anyone named Lydia. Do you have any friends named, any of the girls here named Lydia? Raise your hand if your name's Lydia. But you probably have friends who are named Lydia, and chances are the Lydia that you know got her name from this lady whose story we just heard, and the story that we're going to be thinking about this morning. Can we have the first slide up, please? As Lydia prayed, she looked down at her hands. Her hands were forever stained with the purple dye that she had used in her trade of making purple cloth for the important people of society. You see, only important people could afford the very expensive purple cloth that she made. Lydia was old now, but she remembered that day long ago like it was only yesterday. She had been born in a small village in another part of Macedonia. She got her name from that village, Lydia. She was Lydia from Lydia. She was born into a family that worshipped all the Roman and Greek gods. She married, but her husband died quite early on in her life. Then she had to make her own way in the world. But by all accounts, Lydia did a pretty good job of making her own way in the world. She had a household of servants who worked for her, and they worked hard. They were spinning linen and weaving cloth, carrying out the very intricate and very smelly dyeing process. Can we have the next slide? From crushing the murex snails. This dye comes from a snail, and you crush these snails, and you leave them in the sun to dry, and it's all very, very smelly. But at the end of it, you get this beautiful purple dye. Lydia was a really good boss. She was more like a mother than a boss to the people who worked for her. They worked for her, but they also lived in the house with her. And Lydia always wanted to know about new things. Lydia wanted to know what was true. Lydia was open to learning. She was a teachable person, as we would say. Could we have the next slide? Lydia found that the old gods and the goddesses of the Greek and the Roman world were very hard to follow. With all their naughtiness, it would be hard to understand. It was hard to understand how they could set an example for their followers and how they could actually make the world a better place to live in. And from an early age, Lydia was attracted to the god of her Jewish neighbors. It made sense to her that the God who had woven this world together would be holy, and that he would want human beings to live holy lives. So when Lydia's husband died, she decided to become a follower of the God of the Jews. She began to pray, and she began to read the Bible of the Jewish people. And together with her Jewish friends, she became attached to their community. But being a Gentile, being someone who wasn't a Jew, she didn't really belong in the community of the Jewish faith. Lydia learned that though God had created the world, human beings had made a mess of it. Can we have the next slide? The world was like a weaving that had broken threads right in the middle of it, so that the whole thing seemed to be unraveling. But God, in his power and his goodness, made a promise that he would send a Savior. He would send someone to come and reweave the world into the beautiful cloth that it was meant to be. And Lydia, with all her Jewish friends, was waiting and praying for God to send that Savior. And that Savior they called the Messiah. When Lydia moved her house and her business to the city of Philippi, she took her faith with her. Here, too, here in the city of Philippi, she didn't really fully fit in. She was one who believed in the God of the Jews in the midst of a world that believed in the gods and goddesses of the Roman and Greek world. Lydia was a businesswoman in a world that was dominated by men. She was a stranger from a small village in the countryside in this big bustling city of the Roman Empire. And because there was no synagogue in Philippi, Lydia and her friends would go on the Sabbath day, the holy day of the Jewish people, to the river. The river was an ugly, smelly place. It was a place where all the townspeople would throw their rubbish or they would pour out their sewage. But Lydia and her friends knew that they wouldn't be disturbed there in that smelly place. So that's where they went to pray to God. On that day, while they were praying, some men that they didn't know from Palestine came to the river. And these men said they were looking for Lydia and her friends. The leader of this group of men, his name was Paul, and he had been a Jewish teacher. "We've come with good news," Paul told Lydia and the others that were gathered there that day. "God has sent the Savior that we've all been waiting for, the Savior, the Messiah, has already come, and his name is Jesus. Jesus lived in Palestine, and we know people who knew him," Paul says. This Jesus did all kinds of miracles that proved that he was sent by God. Can we have the next slide? And this Jesus, he spoke of God's great plan to reweave the world through him. And he called that plan the kingdom of God. In the end, Jesus was tortured and killed. But 3 days later, Paul says, he rose from the dead and he went up into heaven where he sits now on the throne next to God. Everyone, Paul said, who believes and trusts in Jesus can know God's peace and be a part of that reweaving project. And when they die, they will live forever in God's coming kingdom. That is Paul's message to Lydia that day. And Paul also told the people gathered there at the river, how in a dream God showed him that someone in Macedonia was praying that God would tell him or her about the Savior Jesus. And that's why Paul and his friends made the long journey from Palestine to Philippi. Maybe, just maybe, Lydia and her friends were the people that God had shown Paul in his dream. Now, Lydia knew her Bible well. All that these fellows that were telling her made an awful lot of sense to Lydia. And indeed, Lydia had prayed, as all Jewish people had prayed, that God would send her news of the Savior. And this news about Jesus that Paul brought her that day was really amazing good news for her. Paul told her that because of what Jesus had done, that there was now no distinction between Jew and anybody else. Lydia could be a full member of the family of God. And Paul told her that there was no longer a distinction between men and women. Paul said that they were all equals in Christ Jesus. This was good news for Lydia, and immediately Lydia believed the good news about this Savior. And Lydia was baptized to show that she wanted to be a follower of Jesus. And all of Lydia's friends and servants, too, were baptized that day. Lydia was so excited to realize that God had chosen her, along with all her friends, to be a part of what he was doing to reweave the world into the beautiful place that it was always meant to be. And immediately, Lydia opened her home to Paul and his friends. And it was from her house, from Lydia's house, that the news of Jesus spread throughout all of Macedonia. Later on, Paul would face some persecution. People would not like what he was saying or what he was teaching. And he and his friends had to leave Philippi. But Lydia stayed. And it was through Lydia that the church became strong in that place. Now, Lydia was unique. Lydia was a great businesswoman. Lydia was good with people. She was both a team player and she was a team leader. She loved God, and Lydia had a real desire to know what God wanted from her and her life. And Lydia was willing to give what she had to other people. She invited Paul and his friends into her house. And God took all these unique skills and characteristics of Lydia, and he wove them together with the skills and the characters of others, with Paul and his friends, with her business associates, with the people in her household, to do something amazing. Now, that's the story of Lydia. But Lydia's story is not so different from our own. Some of you know that Jane, my wife and I, and Ailey, my daughter, who's up there, we lived in Thailand for a long time. And we lived initially in a village in the northeast of Thailand, an area that's really poor. People didn't have much money. And lots of mums and dads would journey to the city to work, and some of the villages would only have old folk and very young folk. And it was a very sad situation that people didn't have enough money. We shared the good news about Jesus with lots of people in our village. And one lady who became a Christian, just like Lydia, she thought, now what can I do to help people in my village, in my community, who are so poor? This lady's name was Jan Holm, and she had a sewing machine. Not many other people had sewing machines. And she thought, you know, I could use my sewing machine to help people. There are lots of older ladies in our community who weave beautiful cloth. This was a traditional skill in the northeast of Thailand, weaving cloth. And I brought some cloth with me this morning. This is actually silk. This was made in the northeast. People would raise the silkworms that would make cocoons, and then they would make thread out of the cocoons of the silkworm, and then they would weave it together in cloth and make these beautiful clothes and things. But they didn't have a market for their cloth. Lots of the old ladies would make beautiful dresses and skirts, and they would wear them themselves. They'd go to the temple on temple days, and some of them would come to church on Sunday wearing these beautiful skirts. But they couldn't sell them because there wasn't a market of people buying them. And Jan Holm thought, I'm going to train some young women to sew, and we're going to take that cloth, and we're going to make it into clothes that we can sell in the city. And that's what she did. She trained people in a sewing school to sew so they didn't have to go to the city to work. They could stay home with their families in the village that they grew up in, and they could make money by doing this. Jan Holm, just like Lydia, thought, what are the skills that I have that God wants to take and weave into this plan that he is making to make this world a better place? Each of us, too, has unique skills, and we have unique characters that God wants to use in this plan of weaving the world back together into a better place. And to illustrate what God's doing and this whole idea of living threads, I've got an activity that you girls are going to help us with, all right? There are lots of folk in our church who are amazing people, and they do amazing things. These people come in all shapes and sizes. If you look behind you, you'll see all different shapes and sizes. They're all of different ages. They have different skills. Some are good at cooking. Some are good at looking after other people. Some volunteer in the Gillespie Center. You've probably seen them there. Some give money when it's needed here in church, or they volunteer to sing or play an instrument. Some arrange beautiful flowers. Some lead study groups when we study the Bible together. Some are really good at praying, and they meet together to pray. Some help to lead our Sunday club and our youth group. Others help with services and in the care homes. Lots and lots of things that people do and skills that they have. God is weaving us together as a church to make that amazing blanket that we heard of in Psalm 136, to cover the world with his love. So girls, could you stand up? Now at the end of the rows, at the end of the pews, folks, there's a ribbon. Could you each take that ribbon? Okay, there we go. John's got one. Could you make sure that it starts at that end and it passes through the hand of each person? And girls, could you go and get those ribbons? Go and collect them from this end of the row. Okay, go and find them. And bring them up here. Once you've got your ribbon, bring it up here. There you go. And Nicola's going to come, and she's going to help you weave these ribbons into a beautiful picture, okay? We're going to do that. And we're going to sing as you're doing that. This is all to symbolize all these wonderful gifts and characters that we have that God is bringing together to make a beautiful world, okay? Let's stand to sing our next song. We come to God with our concerns for our world now. We're going to pray to God, we're going to ask for his help. First off, we think about examples in our lives, examples of people like Lydia, people who are models for us and who help to nurture us in our faith. And let's just pause now and remember someone in our life, a parent, a teacher, an aunt, an uncle, a friend, who has been important for us, who was there when we needed them, who supported us, encouraged us, and maybe still is. Lord, we give you thanks for these people. And we ask you to help us to become that kind of person for others, someone who models good faith and who nurtures and encourages others. Help us to find what gifts we have and the place and the group amongst whom we are called to serve. Reveal to us by your Spirit as we pray and as we seek guidance from others, and as we step out in faith, trying out new things and entering into new situations. Lord, this morning we bring to you a world that desperately needs the reweaving work of your kingdom. And we once again pray for the situation of this new virus. And we ask for comfort for victims and their loved ones. We ask for wisdom for doctors and scientists and leaders in the nations. May even this situation be one from which people and communities can emerge stronger and more unified. We pray for situations where a few cause so much heartache and disruption to so many. And we remember the victims of those attacks in London and in Germany this last week. Lord, give people everywhere the understanding of our common humanity. Help us to respect one another, even with our differences, that we might live in peace. We also remember friends who are part of our families, of our church, of our community, who are hurting just now. And in the silence, we remember and pray for those whom we know who have a special need. We believe, Lord, that what is broken will be restored. What is hurting will find comfort. And we and all your people will find rest in your unfailing love, in that kingdom that your Son came to proclaim. And so we lift these prayers in his name. Amen.